Wendy, I don't know why you're not speaking here today, because let me tell you, Wendy's been in Turkey. I'm sure she knows much more about Turkey than I do. I've not been to Turkey. There aren't enough trains in Turkey. However, that's it. I've been doing some research into Turkey. I'm just doing an introduction, and as I do this, I may well be borrowing verses that each of the five speakers might be thinking, well, that was my verse. Doesn't matter. The more we get of Colossians, the better. As I've read it and read it, I've begun to really like this book. I like the poke in Colossae. I've begun to enjoy it. My plan is to talk about the geography and a wee bit of the history of Colossae, then talk about the letter, and then I've picked out five themes that are in the letter, not necessarily ones that are going to be covered by the rest. So the first picture is a general map. A map of Turkey, as it was in days gone by. Ephesus is on the coast, almost on the coast. Now, if I go around here, can you still hear okay? Right. Ephesus is on the coast. There. Inland, about 100 miles from Ephesus, there's Laodicea and Hierapolis, and then Colossae. So there's the way it goes. Ephesus, Laodicea and Hierapolis, and then Colossae. Colossae was on a trade route. This is part of the ancient Silk Road, on a trade route, bringing silk and spices from the east. It became the royal road from Persia. Darius, whom you may know from the book of Daniel, Darius built this royal road in order to get his army over to conquer Greece, which he didn't manage to do. But he came up through Cappadocia. You see that up the top there? The royal road comes up through Cappadocia, then down through Phrygia. It went through Colossae, and then either down to Ephesus or slightly north to Sardis. That's the royal road. And the one to Ephesus went down a river, beautiful named river called the Meander River. And that's what gives our English word meander. It goes like that. So that's where our word comes from. Herodotus, the historian, called Colossae a great city in Phrygia. Xerxes, who came after Darius, came right through Colossae with his army as he headed to try and conquer Greece, which he didn't manage. And so he's traveling, and then he went north a bit towards the Narrows and built his bridge of boats to get over into Europe. Next map. This is a close-up of the area. So you've got the Lycus Valley, that's the river that joins the meander there. The Lycus Valley, and you've got Laodicea and Hierapolis 5 miles apart, and then 12 miles upriver or down, I don't know which it is, there you've got Colossae. It's an earthquake zone. Turkey today is still an earthquake zone, but all of these cities, all three of them, have been flattened at various periods in history. Tacitus in 60 AD tells us that there was an earthquake that destroyed some of the place. I'm not quite sure how that fits in with the timing of the letter. Nobody quite knows. Hierapolis is a tourist destination, Wendy. There are hot springs there. People still go there, and in days gone by, they did go there as well. Laodicea and Colossae had many tensions over their economies. Strabo, a historian of a geographer he really was of much later on, he called Colossae a small town. It was becoming less and less. Laodicea was becoming more and more important. It was a very fertile valley, though. The Laodiceans had sheep, black, glossy-coated sheep, which were famous. The Colossians had sheep, and they dyed them with red dye. Well, they dyed their wool with red dye, from the madder plant, which had a huge root. And Pliny, the elder, tells us that this was very famous. The name of the material was called Colosseum, the red cloth from Colossae. Perhaps that's where Paul gets the idea in chapter 3, verse 12. Clothe yourselves. Put on these qualities. Maybe they were familiar with clothing themselves in Colossae. Next one. How did the good news about Jesus reach Colossae? Well, I'm going back to Acts chapter 19. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that, and I underlined it, all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord went 100 miles along the Meander River up to Colossae, and they had heard it. Now, the next slide tells you how it got there. Paul didn't go to Colossae. He's never been there. The next slide in Colossians says, since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace, that was verse 6, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who told us of your love in the Spirit. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis, obviously the three cities. And in Philemon, he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. I put these praying hands there. Paul says Epaphras is working hard for them. Working hard, he's in prison. He must have been praying hard in prison for the people of Hierapolis, Laodicea, and Colossae. And the way Paul writes that, I think he's putting that to put a stamp on the work that Epaphras did. Maybe some folk were writing him off saying, we've got other things that are better, we need more. No, says Paul, Epaphras told you as it is. Next slide shows a bigger map, and by this time, Paul is no longer in Ephesus. He's been various places, and he's now in Rome. Most likely, he's in Rome, and he's in prison. He's been arrested, and he's in prison in Italy. Next slide I'm very pleased with. I wanted to show you what the story was. So you've got Paul and Timothy. You've got Mark, Luke, and Demas. You've got two fellow prisoners, Aristarchus and Epaphras, and they're in Rome, most likely. Then you've got the messenger, Tychicus, and Onesimus, he's going as well. And they've got two letters. Now, it may be they've got more than two letters, because Ephesians also was delivered by Tychicus. So maybe they're carrying more letters, but they've definitely got these two letters with them as they went. And I've made the letters into scrolls because they're too long for little wax tablets. So they get the letters to Ephesus, to Laodicea, to Hierapolis, and to Colossae. They get to Nympha and the church in her house. They have a message for Archippus, and they have the special letter for Philemon. So there is what is going on with this letter. And I'm assuming it went across the sea. Why was the letter written then? Let's just see why Colossians was written. First of all, because of love. Some folk are going to say, oh, there was something wrong at Colossae, but love shines through in this book from start to finish. Paul says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Chapter 2, encouraged in heart and united in love. He's talking about them, but he is also uniting himself in love with them. And there's a two-way process going on. he says, pray for us too. So this community of love going on. And that's one of the reasons he writes the letter. Next slide. Encouragement. Colossians 2 and 5. I delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Don't believe people who say the church in Colossae was in trouble. Paul says, I'm pleased with how you're doing. Well done. And then I love this next bit, which James read, for which much thanks. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And I've got this picture of the letter arriving and them all gathering round, and they want to read the letter, but they want to hear what's happening. They're wanting, Tychicus, tell us, how is Paul? How's Epaphras? Because he was one of their own. Is he fine? Is he keeping well? How's he doing? And Tychicus is telling them all about the situation in Rome, which is rather a lovely picture of a church sharing news and loving one another. So Tychicus would tell the Colossians all about Paul. His love for the young church in Colossae is so obvious. Next one. The letter was written out of care and with a few cautions for them too. So I'm just picking bits out of verses. See to it, he says. See to it. There are certain things that they have to see to it. Make sure certain things are okay. Do not let anyone judge you. He says, take care. Don't let anyone, you're doing fine. Set your hearts on things above. There's a little piece of advice for him. And then he says, dearly loved, let the word of Christ dwell in you, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Just care and love. Now, there were a few problems in Colossae, and we don't know exactly what the problems were. There are hints. But the church wasn't submerged in heresy at all. Paul says, I delight to see how firm your faith in Christ is. But there are some things that were on the fringes, and he was worried that they would bother them. Some folk were saying, you're not good enough. Something more is needed. I was reading yesterday on Premier Christian Radio, 81% of younger churchgoers in America believe that increased financial contributions to the church will result in greater blessings from God. These kind of things creep in, and people think, I'm not good enough. I'm not doing enough. Paul says, Jesus is enough. That's all you need. There was philosophy all around the Greek world, of course. Basic principles of this world. It's up to individuals to work out what on earth these were. Science things. Do we need this? Do we believe this? Food and drink laws. Were these Jewish? Don't know. Was it from the mystery religions? They certainly had laws. Don't know. Earthly things. And it's so easy for us all to get tied up with earthly things. How do we deal with problems in the church? I rather find this sad story, but interesting. Has the church throughout history dealt with problems? There's a picture of the Albigensian massacre. That took place between 1209 and 1229. It was a crusade against the Cathars in the south of France. Pope Innocent III did not agree, and the Cathars were off the rails, according to straightforward Christian belief. They didn't believe that God became a human being. The world is evil. God could not. So Jesus was not a human being. That was what they thought. Oh, let's get in there. And they actually got in and slaughtered, persecuted, tortured 200,000 of them. That's how the church deals with problems. But what do we do today? What did Paul do? And I put that picture, I was looking for one with somebody with their arm around somebody, but I just picked that one out. Paul sent them a letter, full of love, full of advice, showing them the right way. And it's the way we are today. We've got two ways of doing it. Either people get on the internet and castigate folk and leave them feeling absolutely dreadful and cast them out. Or else we say to people, okay, if it doesn't hurt anyone, it's all right. If you're happy with it, just go with it. Paul doesn't go that way either. He gives them God's laws and he gives them advice, but he gives them love at the same time. Now, before I give you my few themes, just a very, very brief summary so that you're ready for the five speakers. So here's the summary. In chapter one, by the way, here's a quote from Dick Lucas. Paul's ability to condense is nowhere more evident than in Colossians, to the frequent embarrassment of commentators and speakers. And you know, you can read chapter one again and again and again, and it just doesn't go into your head. It is quite incredible. But chapter one has prayers, thanks, and a reminder of the foundation of their faith. There's hope, there's love, there's faith, there's truth, there's grace. Then the one that John Candy's going to do, the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Chapter 2 talks about Paul's purpose, that they may be encouraged and united in love. Chapter 2 brings some hints of problems he's going to deal with. Chapter 3, your hearts are set on things above. And if that's the case, this is how you ought to live. Chapter 4, pray. Speak graciously. Act wisely towards outsiders. And then the final greetings. So that's the book in a nutshell, if you can put it in a nutshell. Now, my themes. My first theme is Jesus Christ. The whole book is circles round Jesus Christ. I picked up some quotes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Faith in Christ, the peace of Christ, reconciled through Christ. Christ is the head of the body, fullness in Christ, made perfect in Christ, alive with Christ. In Christ we have redemption. Keep your hearts and minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Keep Christ. Kept thinking of T.S. Eliot. You know, T.S. Eliot's got that wonderful quote that's often used in one of the four quartets. Distracted from distraction by distraction, filled with fancies and empty of meaning. Distracted. Don't get distracted. Don't have distraction. Don't have anything like that. Don't have emptiness. Have Christ as your focus. And the teaching team have done very well. Next slide shows you how they're going to tackle Colossians. Look at the word Christ in every single talk. Supremacy of Christ next week. The mystery of Christ. Freedom and fullness in Christ. Hearts set on Christ. Working for Christ. So West Glasgow, Christ is going to be the centre of our lives this autumn in the preaching. Next theme I picked out was all. All. And here are some of the words that I'm seeing. And this is maybe going to be picked up by Gabby. Complete, fullness, supremacy. All truth, every way, every good work, all power, all creation, all things. The full riches of complete understanding. Christ is all and in all. It's expansive. The in word now is inclusive. Everything's got to be inclusive. There's nothing more inclusive than Paul in Colossians. All are included. All. It's awesome. You can hardly take it in, the largeness of Paul. Paul's letter here. And to show how large it was, the next slide, I'm just going to read another verse. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. All our sins, just everything, all gone. And I stuck in one of the writing tablets from Vindolanda, a wax tablet. Wouldn't you think that everything was gone from that wax tablet? But it's not. In this life, things don't disappear, unlike with Christ. When they took that wax tablet into the laboratory and used whatever they use, special things, they were able to read some of the messages that had been put on the wax tablet. Not so, says Paul. All our indebtedness is cancelled. My next theme is rooted and built up. Rooted and built up. The Greek word riza is the word for a root. Came into English as deracinated. I love that word, deracinated. Uprooted. There are uprooted people all over the place in Glasgow, uprooted from wherever they came from, uprooted. Paul says to the Colossians, get your roots down, like the tree there, get your roots down. Twin towers in Bologna, they're funny. One's got decent foundations, the other's squee whiff. Words that he uses, a good tree that's rooted, bearing fruit, growing, established and firm, not moved from the hope. Stand firm. The head from whom the whole body, supported and held together, grows as God causes it to grow. Good roots are very important. Let's be rooted in Jesus Christ. Next one, I won't spend long on it. It's mystery. Moira's going to be looking at that one. Here are some of the words that are coming up. Hidden, treasure, disclosed, proclaim, know, understand. Couldn't help but thinking there's a real paradox here. Things are hidden and things are proclaimed. So he says, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery, proclaim the mystery for which I am in chains. And they were in a place, next slide shows, one of the mystery religion goddesses, Cybele. Mystery religions, Strabo talks about the Phrygians and all their mystical rites. And the point about these mystery religions that they were secret. I've tried to teach these to the pupils, and you look at all the books, say, we do not know how you were initiated because it was kept secret. They were all secret. Here Paul says, our secret is in Christ, but we proclaim it. It's for us all. There's no secret for everybody. Next one, and my last wee theme, is body, the body. Connections, unity, members, prayer. Christ is the head of the body, the church, reconciled, perfect, united in love. Christ's body, the church. An unspiritual person has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Christianity is relational, relational and relational. And we grow together and we grow in Christ. And I put that picture there. I saw Michael Portillo getting involved in that on the television. And there's in around Barcelona, they build this huge human tower. And everybody counts. Everybody's part of that body. The ones at the bottom have to push hard in and so on. And if one of the people at the bottom loses a grip, the whole thing falls apart, which is a great picture of the body, the church. So Paul says, you're doing very well. Stay rooted in Christ. Keep your hearts and minds on Christ. Christ is all in all. Christ is with you. Christ will guide you. And with that in mind, I'm just going to finish with a wee story, an adventure story. And it's from C.S. Lewis. It's The Horse and His Boy, which I read and enjoyed thoroughly during the summer. Shasta, a slave boy, runs away. He finds a horse who is also running away, a horse that had been kidnapped. And the horse is heading back to Narnia, and Shasta and the horse head together. On the road, they meet dangers, they meet distractions. There are times when they wander from the path, chased by a lion. Time when the boy is alone and he's comforted by a creature. Time when they have to rush, and a lion makes them rush more quickly. A time when the boy is on his own, Shasta's on his own, going along a very dangerous place. He doesn't realize it, but there's a huge precipice there. And he becomes aware of a presence with him. Who are you? He says. The one who has waited long for you to speak, said the voice. I was the one who chased you onto the right path. I was the one who made you run faster. I was the one who comforted you when you were alone and scared. I have walked beside you all the way. West Glasgow, Jesus Christ is with us all the way. Let's keep him central to our thinking, our actions, our prayers, and our relationships. Let's put our roots deep into him. Let's grow together in Christ.